Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 210, recorded on Sunday, February 10th, 2019. I am here with my trusty co-host, Tim. Tim, how are you tonight?
That's me. I'm here. How are you?
I'm good. Are you good? You bad? You indifferent?
Oh, I'm good. Okay. No, I'm good. I'm excited. We've had like a ton of discussion about our whole Mud Trooper thing that we're doing here for Star Wars Celebration. So I've got just like a lot of anticipation for that. And it's an awesome project. And I'm really looking forward to actually getting this stuff in and making this happen.
Yeah. And, you know, we're both in the process of getting all this stuff and we're waiting for the main kit to come in. But we both received some things here and there. And I'm getting ready to start my first part of the actual process this weekend of dyeing the cape thing that you have to wear, dyeing it black. So that's going to be my first screw up, I guess we'll say. I'm going to put it in the bin with some dye and it's going to come out looking not like what I wanted to. And I'm gonna be like, oh, that didn't work very well. So
yeah.
But I'm ready for my first disappointment. I should be happy. But this is not a show about Lou and Tim's costuming. This is a show about random chatter. Well, that's kind of random. So I guess we're in good shape here.
Yeah.
Tim, you got a note here that Getting Sidetracked is coming back to the network. Did we record an episode?
We did. Well, you weren't present. At least I'm pretty sure you weren't.
No, I wasn't.
Eric and I did. So last week on Friday, Eric ambushed me. I was not ready for this Friday morning. You know, I figured, okay, I'm going to, you know, we're going to record an episode of Behind the Curtain, then I'll, you know, get to my work day. But he's like, no, we're going to record this. Then we're going to record an episode of Getting Sidetracked. And so we did that, and I expect that should be posted shortly. But the episode of Behind the Curtain is up for those of you who are Patreon bonus subscribers. And so we kind of talk about what the thought is on the rework to Getting Sidetracked. Eric kind of wants to get like a little bit deeper in terms of things and really like exploring not only people's perspectives, but why they have those perspectives and, you know, what brings us to the thoughts and feelings that we have on certain things, you know, our experiences in life and, you know, maybe how we were raised or the environments we grew up in, that kind of stuff. And it's not like a deep psychological study or anything, but it's just kind of looking at things through a different lens.
Okay.
And, you know, picking some different topics. So, yeah, it was fun.
Awesome. I know, you know, we've talked about doing the Behind the Curtain thing. You guys added me on to that show. And as soon as you added me on, Eric stopped coming on. So I was like, well, I don't get to record with Eric, damn it. And then, you know, we talked about Getting Sidetracked, getting that back together again. And I couldn't be on this last Friday when you guys did. I'm like, oh, geez, I missed that too. So Eric and I just not having good luck of matching up with our schedules. But hopefully that'll change when we can get back on track. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tim, what have you been up to television watching wise or movie watching wise? Anything good or new recently?
Oh my gosh. I have been banging through The Magicians. I am now in early third season. Wow. Keeping in mind that they just started the fourth season on Sci-Fi Network just in the last couple of weeks. So yeah, I'm in early third season right now. Really enjoying it. Awesome. Season two was a lot of fun. Really, really cool show. And then yesterday watched We Were Soldiers with Mel Gibson.
Movie.
Movie I've seen probably a handful of times, and that is the next movie that Tom and I, officially now Major Tom, his promotion is official, and now he's basically a meme of himself.
Congratulations.
As Major Tom. So that's the next film that we're going to be covering. So we've done, you know, some World War II stuff. We did the Battle of Mogadishu from the 90s, and now we're going to jump back into Vietnam and cover We Were Soldiers. So I watched that, and I'm starting to pull together my notes on it, and hopefully sometime in the next maybe week or so, Tom and I will get to doing that.
Cool. That'll be a lot of fun to listen to. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I'll have to watch it again before I listen to your show on that. It's probably been 10 years since I've seen that. So,
oh yeah, it's certainly been a while for me, And, you know, it's a good movie. It's an interesting thing because it is just really, truly focused on one battle and really like not even a battle. It's more of like a skirmish that, you know, soldiers, this is very, very early in Vietnam that soldiers were dumped into with very little intel. They didn't realize they were truly dropping on top of an entire division of North Vietnamese who were in tunnels under a mountain. And there were 4,000 of them there. And it was, the whole thing was just set up as a slaughter. And you know, fortunately we had a lot of guys get out of it, but you know, certainly not unscathed.
Right. Right. Well, I unfortunately don't have anything new to talk about. I've been successful in not watching Discovery Season 2.
Okay.
I have not ponied up for a subscription again to CBS All Access. So as much as I want to, because it looks amazing, and I'm like, oh god, oh wait. I did see that Season 1's available on iTunes now, which I didn't realize it was before. So I guess at some point they'll let you be able to buy it. So.
Oh, cool. Very good. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about this season. So,
yeah,
it's pretty exciting.
It's killing me that, you know, all over Instagram, all over every social media thing I'm on, I keep seeing ads for it. I'm like, I know it's out, but I don't want to pay you for it yet. Maybe when they get the whole season out, I'll do a month and just kind of binge it. That sounds like the better way to go, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Let's see here. Box office updates. This past weekend, we had the Lego Movie 2 debuting at number one, but not quite as much as they had thought it was going to do. I saw projections as much as $55 million for this, and it came in around 34.
Yeah, it didn't even hit 40. A lot of us were really hoping it was going to make 40, especially in Fantasy Movie League, as we were looking at the numbers. And that's really what I was betting on, which is pretty much what tanked my week in FML and a lot of other people.
Well, yeah, I mean, in FML, when there's a big movie like this that comes out, you've got to pick it because even if it doesn't do as much as it's supposed to, it's still going to be a big enough draw that if you don't have it and you didn't pick the best performer and have that picked like a lot, you're not going to get enough bonus to cover up what it did make. So
It's still a good anchor. And you know, I mean, you're not, well, I mean, you can still do terribly. And I think my week is evidence of that, but yeah, it's absolutely a common sense anchor. I mean, you kind of can't not pick it.
Right. Let's see what else happened this weekend. Here we got What Men Want coming in at number two with $19 million. Cold Pursuit, the Liam Neeson movie, coming in at 10.8 in its first week. So this is the first time we've had three debut movies kind of in the top three spots, I think, in a long time.
This is the first week in a long time that we have not had Into the Spider-Verse and Aquaman in the top five.
True, very true. Rounding out the top five, we have The Upside and Glass. In their fifth and fourth weeks, respectively, making 7.2 and 6.4 million. So, pretty much a week weekend for the box office. I thought we were going to see a lot more, but I don't know. Maybe everybody's getting ready for this coming weekend with Valentine's Day. So this weekend coming out, we have I read this, these three movies. I'm like, that is really a pretty broad spectrum of Valentine movies. We have Happy Death Day to You, which is a horror movie. We have Isn't It Romantic, which is a romantic comedy, right? With what's her name? Is it Rebel? Is that
Rebel Wilson?
Pitch Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't It Romantic with her? And we have Alita: Battle Angel. All three of those movies are, you know, hey, let's get romantic and be Valentine's Day weekend.
Disappointed that we don't have a Deadpool movie for Valentine's Day, but
yeah, true. You've had that. We've done that. So the rest of the month, we have How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World coming out, and Rhythm Section. Tim, do you have an update for us on our movie draft for Random Chatter? I don't really care anymore because I'm not going to be anywhere close to with my, you know, 31 credit movie leaving for next year, which I still want to get credit for. But anyway,
Yeah. Well, Andrea is still in the lead, but over the last couple of weeks, she really hasn't gained very much. She's lost some steam. Similarly, Fred is still second place and still about half of what Andrea's total is, so he hasn't moved a whole heck of a lot. You and April have both finally shown up.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
and, of course, with Lou losing the Tom Hanks movie, I don't expect you to do much more through the rest of the season.
I don't think I have much more, do I? I mean, I'm pretty much out of it right now. There's nothing else.
You have a couple of smaller movies, I think. You're able to grab some decent movies at low cost, but I don't think it's going to have you be competitive.
Yeah.
So I know April has some big grabs coming up, and she's probably going to do pretty well. And then over on the audience draft side, Todd is still like tremendously leading the pack. So good for him.
Cool.
He's done a lot of right picks. And, you know, for me in the audience draft side, I don't expect I'm going to move much because I also had a Greyhound. And, you know, I was really rooting for you there, Lou. And I'm probably not going
to
move.
that movie should have been Bank. But, you know, I don't think so. I mean, unless Us just knocks it out of the park for me, I'm not going to do much.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Let's see here. We have talked about fantasy movie league already. I am about mid pack. You're a couple of rungs below me, so neither one of us are doing great this weekend. Although it's nice to see, you know, for a change, Erasure is way up at the top again. Damn it. he's been doing phenomenally well. It's been great. I'm glad to see him up there doing his thing. I just wish I had picked differently this week, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if it's his methodology or his instinct on movies or what it is, but these last couple of seasons, he's done very, very well. He's made a lot of good picks. He's placed very high.
He puts in the research, and he's got some pretty good, you know, knowledge behind what he's choosing and why he's choosing it. So, he's doing a remarkable job. Easier, Tim. You good? Be okay? Okay, let's see here. Now, going on from there, we can get into our news and discussion this week. We have some good stuff coming out here, I think, as far as stuff we're going to talk about. We have the Stage 25 at Warner Brothers has been renamed the Big Bang Theory Stage, which is a big thing. I mean, Big Bang's been out for a long time, and to have them rename this, I saw the tweet, or not the tweet, but the Instagram post on there, and, you know, they're probably sitting there with the plaque showing that the name of the stage, which I think is great. I think that it's great they're doing this. This is the last season for them, and I'm going to miss the show, and it's nice to see them getting that kind of recognition.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's not often that stages get named after shows. It's usually a show that has had a good long run and has spent most, if not all, of their time at that particular stage. You know, I mean, probably the other big notable over at Warner Brothers is Friends.
Right.
You know, so there's a Friends stage there, and now we have Big Bang Theory stage. And yeah, I think that's real cool. And quite honestly, for folks, if you've ever gotten the opportunity to do so, the Warner Brothers studio lot tour, I think, is the best studio lot tour out of all of them in Hollywood. It's awesome. It's, you get the best access to things. I've done it, I think, maybe three times. It is, it's very, very good.
Cool. Never done it. Never been out there, really.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And, you know, you get into the sets, you get into like the outside sets things. So you see like the streets, and it's just amazing that as you kind of walk through these streets and these couple blocks, and you've got like, you know, old urban areas, you've got suburban, you have all these houses and things set up, and just looking around, it's like, hey, that looks really familiar. Oh, I remember that from this movie, and I remember that from this TV show. And
that's cool.
Just very, very cool. And the tour guides are real knowledgeable, and they'll say, oh yeah, you might remember this from this movie, but it's also been featured in this other movie and this TV show and blah, blah, blah. Really, really good stuff. Really very interesting. It truly is, I think, you know, bang for your buck and for your time, the most worthwhile studio lot tour out there.
Cool. I may have to do that if I break out there. That'd be awesome. Let's see here. So this one kind of surprised me. Bob Iger says they're going to continue making R-rated Marvel stuff.
I'm thrilled.
It surprises me, but it doesn't surprise me because it's like, okay, I mean, the fans of this of these properties have grown up now. We're all older. I should say all of us, but a lot of them are older now and they're more mature and you can handle an R-rated movie or an R-rated franchise of some sort, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we're all adults now. We're growing up. We can do this kind of stuff. I gotta hope they're careful with it because I don't think you can always do everything R-rated and make it work right. Tim, I can't hear you.
There you go.
Yeah, we're leaving it in the show too. By the way,
I'm plagued by audio issues tonight. Iger said that they're going to continue in the R-rated Marvel business. So he didn't get into any detail of movie versus TV show or anything like that. Disney likes money. And, you know, and I always say, and maybe I'm just kind of jaded with this perspective, but I always bring things back to economics. And
it's got me.
Disney has seen great success from the Marvel shows that were streamed on Netflix, which are rated R. And they've seen great success from movies like Deadpool and Deadpool 2. So they would be foolish to say, yeah, no, we're not going to do those things. Right. Now, I do agree, you know, doing R-rated stuff for the sake of doing R-rated stuff, it's actually going to lose you money.
Yeah.
You know, something that is PG-13 is much more accessible than R-rated. And, you know, it needs to be R-rated for a reason. And over on Guardians, a couple weeks ago, we talked about that there's been a lot of talk about the Black Widow movie potentially being R-rated. And I don't think they need to make it R-rated. I think they're going to lose a lot of their audience, which means that the box office take on it's going to be smaller. And that's going to bring out a lot of naysayers of, oh, look, Marvel did this other female-led movie and it didn't come out that great. Well, if they do it R-rated, that's the box office is going to have a downturn in it.
Right.
I mean,
it's a smaller audience.
Yeah, and, you know, story-wise for a character like Black Widow, sure, you can absolutely get into R-rated stuff. She was an assassin. She was, you know, they talked about her backstory a little bit in Age of Ultron where, you know, they had the female spies got sterilized so they could essentially use sex as part of their spy repertoire and that kind of stuff. And, you know, so you imagine there's a lot of violence and that kind of stuff that they could bring into it. And it certainly would add like a very interesting dimension to her character, but it's not stuff that they really need to overtly show. And that's the difference in the R rating. You can allude to it, you can talk about it, and it can still be PG-13. But if you're going to really show this stuff graphically, that's the R rating. And we don't need that R rating. You know, we can be better storytellers than that. So, you know, in that situation, they don't need it.
Right. And that line has blurred a lot in the last few years anyways, too. I mean, you know, what used to be R is now really PG-13. So,
oh, totally.
You know, you can get away with a lot more. And like you said, without being graphic and showing it, but have those adult type things going on and tell a good story.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm real happy that he announces so because it does keep that option open. And for things like Deadpool, totally makes sense. If they want to do something similar to what they did with the Netflix streaming series and potentially do that on Disney Plus or something, they can do that. They have the option to do that. So I like them keeping the option open, but I agree with you. It's not, you know, it's part of the Swiss Army knife, but don't be pulling out that tool all the time.
Yeah, right. And you know, I think it makes a lot of sense for like the Disney streaming service where, you know, I hate to say this, but, you know, you put an R-rated movie in a theater and your audience is already limited. You've taken a whole section of people that can't go see it now because it's restricted to, you know, 18 or over. You put that same content on Disney Plus and now it's up to who's ever controlling the viewing habits of the younger viewers. They're not going to do that sometimes and you're going to get younger kids watching stuff they shouldn't be, you know. So it's
that's true. But
it is more accessible. I mean,
Yeah, and basically where you're going with it is like on Netflix, you can put parental controls on Netflix. You can do that kind of thing. So if hopefully Disney Plus has any want or desire to put R-rated stuff or at least more mature-rated stuff on their service, then have a parental control on it and do that. So they're catering to a broad range of fans and still rightfully protecting kids from watching stuff that they shouldn't be watching.
Sure.
Let's see here. Speaking of Disney and Disney Plus, their Disney Plus service is getting a first look coming April 11th.
And what's that mean?
We don't know. It's the first look. You're going to see it.
where are we going to see it, Lou?
With your eyes. You just look at it and see it. I don't know.
what are they going to show us?
It.
Okay.
Disney Plus. They're going to show you it. Yeah, I wish I knew.
Where do we have to be to see it?
I don't know. It's online probably, right? I mean, are you going to get it? I mean, maybe. I don't know. I wish they'd give us more details about this stuff. I mean, this is one of the things where they're building anticipation by not telling us what's going on, and we're just all clamoring for more information about this.
Yeah, yeah. They are certainly building a lot of anticipation with it. You know, they're saying it's going to be April 11th, and they truly have given no more information other than, hey, Disney Plus is going to do this first look thing. And it's going to be on April 11th. April 11th happens to be the first day of Star Wars Celebration. That said, it's also a bit of a dud day. I mean, that's kind of like there's not a lot going on the 11th. The 11th is what, a Thursday, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So most attendees aren't even going to be there. Granted, they could do something there and simultaneously put it out online, and they're still hitting the world. So, yeah. You know, that's fine. And chances are, even if they do something at Celebration, which you and I are going to be at and a lot of other people are going to be there, our first time seeing whatever they're doing is probably going to be online, because you have to be, you know, in the right place at the right time.
Right, right. I mean, it's just, like you said before, you joked around about you sending them checks every month and they keep sending them back. But, you know, it's like, it's this whole thing of take my money. I just want to see what's going on with this. And yet we're still not going to have the big stuff that we want to see revealed until later on in the year anyways. I mean, a lot of these properties that they're prepping for, you know, television type stuff released on Disney Plus is until the fall.
Yeah. I mean, I would like this. I expect that this is going to be the beginning of their marketing blitz, though, where they're probably going to say, hopefully definitively, when it's going to release, what the pricing structure is, and maybe even how to subscribe, and say, hey, here's the early bird discount.
yeah,
you maybe. Know, get in now and subscribe before, you know, September 1st, and you can get this pricing. I just don't know. And maybe a more definitive list of what's going to be on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've given us little things on the Star Wars side and on the Marvel side, a little bit of stuff kind of on the more generic Disney side, mm-hmm. You know, the kind of the princess and Mickey side of Disney. But I'd like to see more of a holistic marketing package come out from them on this.
Yeah, I'm just afraid this first look thing is not going to give us much in the way of anything as far as a release date or any of that kind of stuff. I think they're going to hold that back. I think this is going to be, you know, talking about how much content they're going to have and what kinds of shows they're going to have on there first. And yesterday we heard that Captain Marvel will be the first movie released on Disney Plus streaming service. So that's one thing we're getting. And yeah, I think we're getting more of that kind of stuff on this April 11th deal. I don't think we're going to see what we want to see of, you know, hey, you're going to be able to subscribe to this on June 1st or, you know, whatever they're going to pick. We're not going to get that, I don't think. I wish you would, but I don't see that happening yet. Let's see. Do you watch Modern Family, Tim?
I do. Yeah, we are a Modern Family household. We watch it pretty religiously here.
Okay, you must be
been
happy
watching
getting
it
there
since the beginning.
Have you? Okay, you must be happy they're getting their 11th season now.
Yeah, we're happy about that announcement for their 11th season. I mean, they're in the midst of their 10th season right now.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they got the renewal. Unfortunately, though, this announcement came with some sad news in that this is going to be their final season.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, I mean,
after 10 seasons, you're up in that rare era there of, very few seasons going that long. Does it still feel fresh and new? Does it still feel like it's worth having new storyline going, or is it getting kind of stale now?
You know, you get a little bit of both. I mean, it kind of depends on the focus of the particular episode. You end up with a uniqueness that, the younger cast are all growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the writers are maybe struggling a little bit with, okay, you have kids now who are like in college, and it's hard to write them in because viably they may not be living at home. They're off doing something else. But if they're home, you have to come up with an excuse for them to be home. And so you have a lot of writing challenges with that.
Okay.
And, yeah. You are also getting into a lot of the same stuff. It's you're just kind of recycling the same situations and the same tropes and such.
Yep.
And, I think it's good for them to be ending it sooner rather than later, because they're able to end on a high note. I mean, they are like one of the most highly rated currently running television shows out there. The cast is regularly nominated and oftentimes winning awards for their roles and such. So, yeah, end it on a high note. Don't drag it out for another 3 or 4 years where people are saying, oh, my gosh, is this ever going to end?
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see it go on past where it's still funny. But you're absolutely right when you talk about a family type show with this, where there's, kids involved and everything else. As the actors age, they almost age out of those roles, and you can't change the show dynamic that much, because it's kind of like a real family when you kids grow up and they go to college and they're now out of the picture, and get the whole empty nest thing going on with the family at home and stuff. It's a different dynamic. It's harder to make that work. I never got into this show. I don't know why. I never picked up on it from the beginning. Okay. Yeah. I think part of it was because I just didn't really – I couldn't see Ed O'Neill as – that character, other than what I saw him on in Married with Children, so that was kind of a tough thing for me. I'm like, no, I don't want to watch that. So I just never picked up on it. But
well, I'm glad it's interesting because there's still a really cool reflection of Ted Bundy in. Not Ted Bundy. Al Bundy. That's a bad Bundy.
Different guy entirely.
There's a really interesting reflection of Al Bundy in his character in Modern Family. And but still very different. I mean, where really? Al Bundy struggled with his job and with life overall, his character in Modern Family was a very successful businessman, and he's, truly the patriarch of this family, which has like all, I mean, the essence of this show is that it's such a diverse family.
Right.
And, you see his struggles are sometimes a little more social than anything else. And, but it's still great. There's a lot of just great, great characterizations in that show.
Okay, cool.
Not Ted Bundy.
No, not Ted Bundy. Different Bundy entirely. Yeah. Let's see here. And finally, in our news and discussions here, we have Family Guy hits 20. 20 years that show's been on the air. I read this in the notes to him, and I went, really? 20 years? It just seems like it was like 5.
Yeah, it's like, where's the time gone? Now, I mean, granted, they had a couple of instances of hiatus because like they first got picked up by Fox, then they got canceled. And then like a year later, they got picked up again for a bit, and then they got canceled again, and then they were brought back. And so there's a couple of missed seasons in there that they didn't have shows, but
right. But still 20 years is a long time to be doing one show. I have to say, I'm not following Family Guy anymore currently, so I'll watch it here and there, but I'm not still actively following it week to week. But
yeah, I don't watch it religiously like I used to, but I very much enjoy it, and I watch a lot of episodes of it, and you know, I love Seth MacFarlane and the stuff that he does. I mean, between this and the Orville. And
the Orville, yep.
A lot of his other things. So I really appreciate his talent and his brand of humor. And
oh, yeah, I do, too. I do, too.
Yeah.
Okay. See, on to our favorite section, reboots, remakes, and sequels. I say that with a little bit of a, you know, ho-hum thing here. But
it seems so often that there's more to talk about here than any other place in the show.
I know, because there's so many things being redone. But
yeah.
So let's start off with Child's Play. Did you see the new trailer?
Yeah.
I mean, we said before, I mean, neither one of us are huge horror fans. I think I'm probably a little more of a horror fan than you are. But the Chucky stuff never really got me back in the day. I think I saw the first one, and that was it. I didn't see any of the sequels to that. I did watch this trailer, and it's interesting. They don't show Chucky at all.
No, they don't.
You see a little bit of a outline, in shadow, but you never see his face. Which I was, by the end, I'm like, come on, show me his face. I want to see it.
Yeah.
You know? I did think it was interesting when he opens up the boxes that, like, that laser scan thing scans the kid's face.
Yes. I'm wondering what's that all about?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully this is updated for the, current technology level, which would be kind of cool. But I still never bought the fact that this doll can get around as well as he did and kill people. But
They like you said in the trailer, they never actually showed him. And of course, they didn't give the key phrase of, hi, my name is Chucky. Do you want to play?
Right.
That wasn't in there either. It was minorly compelling. But yeah, I was never really a big fan of the original, so I couldn't care less. Yeah,
I mean, I don't see me going to the theater to see this. I'll see it when it's on streaming somewhere.
Yeah.
Let's see. Stephen King is getting a new miniseries for The Stand, right?
Yeah, so they're going to redo The Stand. The Stand was originally, I don't know, what, mid or late 80s?
For the book or for the original?
The original series.
Good question. I don't know, yeah.
When that ran. So they're now going to be doing a remake for CBS All Access. Which I believe is coming out later this year.
Behind a paywall. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So it will be joining. I actually didn't have in the show notes here because it was from a couple weeks ago. But you probably saw the commercial for Twilight Zone, right?
No. No, I didn't.
Oh, you missed that?
Yeah. I didn't see it at all. Yes.
There was a commercial for Twilight Zone, which is also going to be CBS All Access.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, CBS All Access is definitely upping their game with some things here. So, yeah, the new Jordan Peele Twilight Zone will also be there. And, the stand was good. It's a good story, but it's interesting. And I think you and I were texting about it earlier in the week. You know, Child's Play, mm-hmm. The Stand, Pet Sematary.
Mm.
All these other Stephen King things, like all of a sudden this dude's like making money again. Not to say that he didn't make money because he still released books periodically through the years. But like there was this kind of period in time in like the mid 80s to the early 90s where there was constantly something on TV or in the movies that was a Stephen King thing.
Mm-hmm.
Child's Play is Stephen King, right? Yeah, I think it is.
I think so. Can't remember now.
Now recently again, it's like all these like same things are getting mm-hmm. remade, and it's more money in his pocket. So there's a lot of stuff happening for Stephen King properties,
which is kind of funny though when you think about the just sheer volume of stuff he has published. Why would he keep going back to these same things? Do a new story he's done. It doesn't even be new. Do an old story that was never done in the movie. Do something else because it's all compelling. It's just a matter of getting the right person to do the screenplay and direct it and make it work because so much of his stuff is not really done well on the big screen or even on television.
Yeah.
Compared to how well he's respected as a novelist.
Yeah, I agree. It's the thing. The thing is, though, is that I think as a novelist, there are there's things that you can get away with. No, Child's Play is not his.
Okay.
As a novelist, there's things that you can get away with that you really can't, especially in a movie form. And if you do a miniseries kind of thing, something like The Stand or like It, which those did really well as miniseries, and those were like truly TV events when those were out. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm sure you remember those, Lou. They were big things, and you can do much better storytelling in those longer style formats, especially with an author like Stephen King, who, you know, in his books, he goes into excruciating detail.
Oh yeah. He's crazy
about
on
stuff. Yeah.
Length of his stories. Like, you know, like the last one he did, the last movie that came out for him was The Dark Tower. And that, you know, people have been clamoring for that for years in a series format. Give me a television series about that. What, 7 books long, and the books are not short books by any stretch of the imagination. That would have been perfect for a miniseries or a non-miniseries, a regular TV series over, you know, 24 episodes a season type thing.
Yeah, yep. But,
yeah, I don't know. So we shall see what this does. I'm not sure. I don't think I'm going to pay CBS All Access just to get access to The Stand. The last one that came out in the 90s, what was that, with Rob Lowe and Gary Sinise, I think.
Yes.
That was good, but, I mean, to me, the story of The Stand is, the first part of it is excellent. I didn't think the ending of it really kind of kept my attention.
Yeah.
But, man, we'll see. the Shaft trailer came out. This looks incredibly funny. I can't wait to see this.
Oh, it absolutely does. I mean, this is...
And it just got better and better as it went along.
Yeah, it really did. The trailer got funnier and funnier as you watched it. And it's more Samuel L. Jackson doing what he does best. Oh, yeah,
it's him all the way through. But, you know, it starts at the beginning with this guy show up at the door and he's looking for Shaft. And he's like, who wants to know? His son? Junior? Yeah. And then later on you find out, you know, the grandfather shows up and the three of them are doing this thing. I'm like, this is funny as hell. I loved it.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing that one. That'll be fun. That comes out in June 14th.
Yep.
Wicked, the play, right? Based on
originally on Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, yeah. I was thinking Gilbert Grape, what was the name? That's not the name of the movie. Is coming to theaters, so we're getting a movie version of the Broadway show based on the movie.
And that's like, that's coming right away, right?
I can't wait. Yeah, I'm going to buy tickets pretty soon and then be ready for December 2021.
Yeah, that's a heck of an announcement.
I saw the
deal. Almost 3 years off. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think myself, okay, what's the over-under in Vegas for if this comes out when they say it's going to come out or not? It's going to change at least once, even by a week. It's got to change. I mean, you're not going to keep that same date going forward 3 years from now.
Yeah, and it's just really so odd that they would announce something 3 years in advance. I mean, you very, very rarely ever see that with movies. So I don't know the reason why. And, you know, my niece and I were talking about today because she's a big fan of the musical. And we were talking about like potential differences between the musical and the movie. And I think that they have to walk a real fine line because obviously folks who like the musical are going to go see the movie.
Mm.
But if the movie is too much like the stage musical, then why bother making a movie? But if it's too different, like her concern was, I hope that they don't like overdo it with special effects to basically just because they can. And I'm like, well, certainly not overdo it, but you have to add some value to essentially discern it from the musical.
Right.
Because otherwise, why bother making a movie? Much less, why bother announcing it 3 years ahead of time?
Yeah, that left me scratching my head. I didn't get that at all. So far out in advance, but I don't know. Let's see. And lastly, we have a new Power Rangers movie is being discussed over Paramount. Do we need a new Power Rangers movie, Tim?
I I know a lot of folks love Power Rangers, and I respect the series for what it is. I've never gotten into it myself. It's never been my thing. Right. But I know it has a good following, and I respect that for what it is. So, you know, it's cool that they're coming out with another one. They had one not too long ago, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same
last
thing.
Last year there was one, I think.
It wasn't that far away that we just had one. But, I mean, if they're going to continue doing them and, you know, keep a series of movies going, I think I'd be okay with that and doing it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I've never been a fan of it myself. It was kind of in a time where it was too young for me, and it was right after that time when I was a little too old for it, so I never really got into it. And I never really got the whole, you know, the way it was shot thing. I didn't really care for that kind of, you know, television itself.
I'm right there with you. Yeah.
Was the last movie the same way, or was it more of a regular movie?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, we may have to do some research then. We may have to watch this movie and see it.
You can, I'll let you do the research. And,
maybe I'll get.
And I'll drink.
Maybe I'll get my co-host on Movie Chatter to watch this movie. We'll do that one. I'm sure your wife will love, and that means you got to watch it too, because your wife will suck you right in.
Lou, that's cruel.
I know it's cold. I'm sorry. I know.
I can't condone that. That's horrible.
Okay. I'll just mention it. See if it gets picked up. Okay. So Tim, we're going to have a discussion now for the first time in like months. We've actually had time in the show to have a discussion and chat with something that's kind of relevant in the industry right now. Liam Neeson had a bit of a
oops.
Yeah, I was going to say acknowledgement of something he thought about in the past. But yeah, oops is a good word for that, I guess, too.
Yeah.
So this happened, last week, I think it was. I saw it on the news over the weekend, I think it was. He was kind of promoting the new movie he's in, Cold Pursuit, and it's a movie based on revenge and revenging his son's death and so forth. And in one of the interviews beforehand, he had talked about a time in his life when he actually had revenge thoughts. And I'm sure I don't have all the details right in my head, but it goes back to a time when somebody he knew, somebody he was close to, had been a victim of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. And the way he did the interview, he was talking, he asked her, you know, what happened? Who did this? Do you know who it was? And all this person said was it was a black person. And he took that as, you know, I want revenge now on a black person. And he even went out, you know, kind of patrolling the streets, looking for a fight. And this all came out and it started the whole Twitter storm over, you know, his comments and how it was said, and people have spun it back in a better way and put him down for it. And some people come to his defense about it. Revenge is a very powerful emotion.
Yes.
You know, when you come right down to it, if somebody, you know, somebody you love was hurt or victimized somehow, I mean, I think it's almost natural to have thoughts of revenge, and how far you take those thoughts is, you know, up to each individual person's psyche, I guess. But should we vilify Liam Neeson for this and his thoughts?
Well, here's my take on it, and I'm certainly no psychologist, but I think kind of going off of what you were saying, that revenge and the underlying things that bring you into that mindset, like in Liam Neeson's case, in this story that he told about someone who was close to him having been a victim of a sexual assault. Yeah, he had a lot of anger and wanted to lash out and take this out on someone. And while that kind of emotion is understandable, when these emotions are taken to an extreme, they become very illogical. And, like you said, he's had a lot of people come out in his defense, people who know him saying, hey, you know what? He's not a racist guy. He simply told a story about a situation that he found himself in and he wanted to lash out. And, you know, it's real interesting. I mean, my perspective on this is that the person who was assaulted could have said they were a mailman, or they were wearing a red shirt, or they were a bald guy, or, you know, whatever. And that's who he would have gone out on the streets looking for. So,
right.
I mean, it's this irrational type of profiling, essentially. I don't think it's racially driven, and there seems to be no indication otherwise from anyone that he is a racist. So, I think folks need to kind of calm down a little bit and do some reading. Don't just read the headlines, because I think that's right, what tends to drum up a lot of this social media fervor, is looking at a headline saying, oh my God, Liam Neeson said he wanted to go kill a black man. Well, again, let's read, let's look at the context, you know, listen to the interview that he did, or read the transcript of the interview, and also try to understand where he was coming from. And I think that, you know, I obviously what he did was wrong, and he even admits that. But I think to be painting him with the very broad brush of being a racist, I think that solely based on this may be inaccurate.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% when it comes to, you know, is he a racist or isn't he a racist? I think that it's heat of the moment. It's, you know, what happened and how he reacted to it was based on just what was said to him. And I think you're right. He would have went after anybody that was characterized as the person that assaulted his friend or whoever.
Totally.
It was. And I think it's different that nothing happened. He didn't do anything.
Right.
He certainly would have if he had the opportunity, more than likely. And this would be a whole different discussion. He'd be in prison probably, and, you know, a whole different thing would be happening right now. But, you know, I think it's good to have this kind of story come out, that we can all at least relate to it a little bit and understand those kind of feelings and where they come from, and how to, you know, maybe recognize them and not have you, you know, swallowed up by that kind of emotion, right?
Totally.
Because, I mean, you can see what happened, and I'm not saying if the same thing happened to me, I would do anything any different or not be lost in that kind of, you know, emotion and rage, because it's painful to have someone just happen to someone you love. And it's going to have a reaction in your overall life. Maybe not everybody's going to do what he did, but, you know, I mean, there's still underlying feelings there, I'm assuming, for most people.
And it's, you know, it's there's a lot of irony to this, being that Liam Neeson has been for years the headliner of revenge oriented movies. And for as much as I love Liam Neeson, I mean, all these movies are the same. You look at Cold Pursuit and you're like, okay, it's Taken in Alaska. I mean, that's pretty much what it, you know, what these things come down to be. And, you know, just because I'm a fan of his doesn't mean that I'm being dismissive of it. I mean, I think that I've given this some good thought. And of course, I think the first reaction that a lot of us have is, oh my gosh, that's really horrible. How could he do that? And then again, you take a moment to breathe and to think, and you say, okay, I can kind of understand the circumstance. I don't agree with what he did, but you can at least understand the circumstance.
Right.
And again, there could be some evidence that comes out that says, yeah, sure, he absolutely is a racist, but this is not evidence of him being a racist.
Right.
Again, someone could have said, hey, it could be, you know, a redheaded guy wearing a blue t-shirt. So he would have scoured the streets looking for a redheaded guy wearing a blue t-shirt. It doesn't necessarily mean that this was, you know, he wanted to go after all black people. It's an unfortunate thing. And we see a lot of this, court of public opinion stuff, and, you know, he's had to kind of pay some immediate dues for this. A lot of the red carpet stuff for the Cold Pursuit premiere was canceled because of the backlash of what he said here. He had, I guess, Spike Lee was interested in casting Liam Neeson in a movie, and yesterday or today came out and said, "Yeah, no, he's off the list. We're not going to cast him."
Oh God. Yeah, but you know, I mean, it's at the same time where, you know what, if you don't want to support someone for what they said or what they felt or what they did, that's your prerogative, and I think that, you know, it's a good way to kind of vote with your dollars, I guess.
Yeah.
If you don't take offense to what he did or what he said or how he felt, you'll follow him still and support him still. If you do, then it's your prerogative to, you know, not watch his movies anymore, not go see him in the theater, that kind of stuff. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, certainly to each their own. But again, I urge people to basically not do what he did. Don't have an emotional reaction to it like that. Take a moment and stop and think. Because if you're gonna judge him based on an emotional reaction, you're doing exactly the same thing. I mean, obviously the implications are very different. So I'm not contextualizing like that, but fundamentally what folks are doing is exactly the same thing.
Yep. No, I totally agree. Totally agree. Well, Tim, I think that brings us to the end of another episode.
It does.
So if anybody has any questions for us or any feedback for us, you can send us an email to randomchatter@randomchatter.com. You can find us online. We are on Twitter @randomchatter. You can find me on Twitter @LuceSkywalker, that's Skywalker without the E. And Tim, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter @QuigonTim. That's Tim with two M's.
And you have Lizzie's Twitter handle handy there?
Yes. Don't forget about Lizzie. You can find her on Twitter @TWTAboutLizzie.
Nice. You can also find us on Instagram. We are just Random Chatter on Instagram. And I know Lizzie is hanging out on Instagram an awful lot. I just don't know what she is on Instagram right at the moment.
She loves Instagram. She is the wonderful thing about Lizzie
on Instagram. Okay. I don't know if she changed that or not. Yep. But yeah, she is very prolific on Instagram. So follow her there as well.
We certainly appreciate you finding all you can about us. You can go to our website, randomchatter.com. You can find all of our shows there and some other occasional news. You can find a whole variety of different things that we do and that'll match up to your interest. If you like Star Wars, if you like Marvel, if you like DC, whatever it is you might be interested in, we have a lot of podcasts out there that cover it. And hey, even if there's something that you have interest in that we don't cover, let us know. You know, maybe we have some hosts or can find some hosts who are interested in that. And, you know, we certainly appreciate growth, and we just kind of want to make sure that there's an audience for stuff that's out there. So we've certainly kicked around a lot of different ideas for different things. We also appreciate you spreading the word about us, friends, family members, coworkers, total strangers, whoever it is that you come across who likes the entertainment industry and TV and movies and that kind of stuff that we talk about. Please let them know about our show and about any of our other shows that they might be interested in. You can also leave us reviews wherever it is that you find your wherever it is that you get your podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, etc. Be sure to click on all the stars, write in some great things about us. And we also appreciate some support by way of Patreon. If you head over to randomchatter.com/Patreon, you can get all the details there on how to contribute to us. We are an organization. We have a number of shows. We have a lot of people. We have expenses. None of us actually get paid, so none of the money goes into our pocket. But we do have web hosting fees and data storage fees and other things associated with what we do. You know, we get put together a new show, we get music, we have to pay for rights to that music. We have all sorts of different things. I mean, I'm doing our tax filing very soon. So trust me, we're an organization. That stuff happens. But we definitely appreciate any contributions you can send our way. It can start at as little as $1 a month. And that will get you full access to our Discord community. And your contributions can go up from there. And we for everything you give us, we give something to you. So at the higher levels, like $5 and $10 a month, we kick you some bonus content. And we do some special recordings and that kind of stuff just to show you our appreciation. for Discord, randomcheddar.com/Discord. Even if you don't contribute to us through Patreon, and we understand sometimes your folks aren't able to, you can still at least join us in our public lobby and our show channels over there. We have a great community on Discord. We're talking about something all the time, and we have some really great discussions with some terrific people. So please join us there.
And of course, the music you hear in the podcast is The Creepy Face by Blue Stolly. We appreciate you guys listening, and that's about it for this week. We'll come back and catch you guys in about a week.